Hi, I'm Kelly Corrigan. You've probably never heard of me. Maybe you did. I wrote some New York Times bestsellers. I gave a TED Talk. But the reason I'm in your ear now is to invite you to listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders. We talk to everyone from Bono to Amy Schumer, Spike Lee to Rainn Wilson, Krista Tippett and Bryan Stevenson about purpose, creativity, well-being, and what makes life worth living. Follow and listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
12:03, January 3rd, 2025. Good afternoon, and thanks so much for joining us for the Friday edition of the WBBM Noon Business Hour. I'm Rachel Pearson, filling in for Rob Hart. As many people start to feel that post-holiday financial crunch, you may want to consider a no-spend challenge for January. Joining us live on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Ed Jurtzen, certified financial planner and founder of Engage Wealth Group here in Chicago. Ed, happy new year to you. We know that this is a time of resolution, and I'm sure for many finances is a part of that. But talk to me about what exactly is this no-spend January.
So the concept, Rachel, is, you know, to really try to reduce your spending in January. And again, you know, out of the gate, let's be realistic that we all need to spend something this month. So, you know, for your listeners, let's use this month to focus on being better at being conscious consumers and purposeful purchasing. And that's kind of the key, because we're being programmed to disengage from conscientious spending through swipes, touchless transactions, and monthly convenience payments. So use this month really to kind of refocus your efforts and create a spending plan to really start mapping out the rest of the year.
It's such a good start for, you know, it's just a clean slate. You can start with this year and sort of, like you said, make those plans. The other thing that's interesting that I sort of want to point out is if you are making plans for your finances, January, at least this year, is a little bit unique in that most of us will be getting an extra paycheck the way things work out. So what an even better time to sort of set that aside, you know, really start saving and spending wisely.
Yeah, there's two times a year where generally people get paid, you know, three times in a month. It occurs in January and then again in August. So, you know, use that extra paycheck not to go out and spend frivolously. Again, be conscientious in terms of your consumer and spending. But, you know, pay down some of your holiday credit card balances or add to your rainy day fund. Use these in purposeful ways. And I think that's really important because, again, we don't like the word budget. We say it time and time again on the program. You know, it's creating a spending plan because we plan to spend and then we know life happens. Maybe you spend a little bit above your plan or maybe below your plan, but come up with a plan at the very minimum because we spend a lot of money on things that aren't necessarily hard expenses like rent or auto payments or things like that. It's on the day-to-day things like spending out or streaming services or things like that. So really take this time to refocus in on where your hard-earned money is being spent.
And it's taking that inventory that I think then sets us up for a really successful rest of the year. Let's take this month, cut back as much as you can. And I also think that maybe our listeners and myself included would be surprised at, hey, I guess I can survive without five streaming subscriptions. I won't die if I don't have them all.
Terrific. So if you look at what the average household spends on these services, right, streaming, cable, cell phone, it's almost $5,000 per year when you add this up. And again, don't overly complicate this. Grab a piece of paper, grab a pencil and your smartphone calculator, and just look at what you spent in December on your monthly. Because remember, it's not we're being nickeled and dimed to death. It's the $5 and $10. It's the monthly convenience spending that just automatically either gets put on your credit card and or your savings or checking account. Really review these because, again, we don't want to necessarily, you know, really crank down and not spend anything. We want to have a balance to life, but be conscientious and make those decisions, right? Be purposeful in terms of your purchasing, and that's going to go a long way to help you create some solid fundamentals for your finances, not only today, but well into the future.
Thanks so much, Ed Jurtzen, certified financial planner and founder of Engage Wealth Group here in Chicago. The website, engagewealthgroup.com. Coming up, both Ford and GM celebrating some good sales numbers.
Information to make cash and save cash. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
General Motors and Ford are reporting their best yearly vehicle sales since before the pandemic. Joining us now with the details is John McElroy, automotive industry analyst and host of Autoline.tv based in Detroit. John, let's break down these latest numbers from General Motors and Ford.
Yeah, they look pretty good. I mean, it's better than it's been since COVID started, but I got to point out the market still has not fully recovered. Sales came in just below 16 million vehicles for the whole market. You know, it really should be at least a million more than that to say that we fully recovered. Even so, with the best car sales in 5 years, that's something to celebrate.
What does it mean for car buyers? How does this trickle down to the consumer level?
Well, one of the reasons why sales are good is that there's some pretty good incentives, or certainly there was to close out the year, and people took advantage of that. Also, anybody who is interested in getting an electric car is probably worried that incoming President Trump is going to axe all the subsidies. You know, you could get up as much as $7,500 from the government to buy an EV. And a lot of people rushed in to take advantage of that while it's still there.
Now, is this momentum, because we're specifically GM saying it's sold more than 2.7 million vehicles in 2024. It's around 2 million for Ford. Is that momentum going to carry into 2025? And you mentioned that we're not quite back to really where things need to be, but is that something that's feasible in the new year?
Look, there's some, you know, positives out there. The economy is growing. Job growth is good. Interest rates have come down, maybe not enough for some people, but they're definitely lower right now than they were at the beginning of 2024. And all that bodes well for car sales. So I think the industry right now is got its fingers crossed, but it's optimistic.
Can you speak to maybe some of the buyer trends that led to this surge, relative surge in sales? What I mean by that is there was a time not too long ago when used cars were almost equally priced to new. And I think a lot of car buyers were just sort of keeping their foot on the brake before making a purchase. Is that something that we're seeing alleviate?
Well, look, you know, used car sales never got as expensive as new cars. I mean, they're definitely more expensive than they were pre-COVID, but they never got that expensive. No, I think overall, new car sales and used car sales are doing decent. I wouldn't say it's great, but it's decent. They're at a level where automakers and dealers can turn a nice profit. They're just hoping that this continues on, because if it does, 2025 is going to be a much better sales year than the one we just closed out.
What would you say are some trends that we can expect to move forward in the auto industry, and specifically with sales in 2025?
Well, that's a great question, because, you know, there's been so much emphasis on EVs. If those sales subsidies go away, I mean, automakers have no choice. They're going to have to cut prices. They're going to have to come out with more incentives to keep the momentum going on that. You're also going to see a lot more hybrids, because they can deliver really good fuel economy at a cost that's far lower than a pure battery electric vehicle. But having said that, we're going to see a lot more electric models hitting the market in 2025. A number of brands that have not had any EVs in the marketplace will be launching them in the months to come. And so that's a few things to keep an eye on. More EVs coming into the market, but really watch sales of hybrid vehicles, because that's what's red hot right now.
Thanks so much, John McElroy, automotive industry analyst in Detroit. Up next, putting together a checklist to help start the year off on firm financial ground.
Compounding your interest with an economy of words. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
You can start the new year off on the right financial front by putting together a checklist. So let's get one together with the help of Sherry Greco-Rikus, co-founder of Rappaport-Rikus Capital Management here in Chicago. Now, Sherry, myself and my fellow type A's love a good checklist. So let's start one off. What can we do to start off 2025 on the right financial foot?
Yes, checklists are great, and hopefully some of the listeners did get raises at the end of the year. So a really important thing is to revisit your budget. See, you know, how your budget did last year, and revisit your budget going forward for the next year. It's not fun, but you can have fun doing it.
Sure. Yes. Yes. You're right. We can make it fun. I'm one of those people who I really don't like sitting down and doing it. But I will say, once you sit down, once you look at your, you know, income in versus what's going out, it really does make things easier to make a plan going forward. So I'm glad that you mentioned this first and foremost, right, is reviewing your spending, reviewing your budget. What are some other ways that we can make the most of our money in 2025?
Yeah, and just going back to the budget, one thing, there's a big trend right now. Look at your subscriptions. Look on your phone. Are you still using your health club? All those things add up. So just one tip that you can do today, look at your subscriptions. Another one is look at your retirement plans, your 401k. Is that allocation, your stock bond mix, is it what you want it to be? Are you maxing out? Are you taking advantage of any match that your employer may give you? And are you actually adding to the 401k? So it's a good time to revisit your 401k and your retirement plan. If you're young, you have a very, very long time horizon. So start now. Start adding to the 401k.
Yeah, and making sure that your company's policy hasn't changed in the new year, right? Either, you know, upping or decreasing its contribution to make sure that that's where it needs to be. The other thing I want to sort of touch on is checking out those debt rates, right? Our debt to income ratio, and maybe, you know, tackling that or at least getting it down substantially in the new year.
Yeah, I'm a little bit of a nerd, but I like once a year, the first week of January, I look at my assets and I look at my liabilities. I take my assets less my liabilities, and that's my net worth. I actually have a spreadsheet going back about 30 years on this. But on the debt, that's a really, really good point. Interest rates have fluctuated a lot. They've gone down a touch, but they're still much higher than when they were 2 or 3 years ago. So I am not a big fan of credit card debt. Get rid of that. That's the first thing you should do, is get rid of that. If you have student loans, see what the rates are now. Maybe pay off the higher ones. Car loans, all kinds of debt. So maybe you got a bonus at the end of the year. Use it to pay down the debt, but really look at your rates. You may be surprised.
Also, Sherry, I just want to say, you call having a financial spreadsheet being a nerd, but I'm pretty sure on this show that is a big brag. So we will give you kudos for that. And I also want to thank you so much for giving us a checklist as we set our financial goals heading into 2025. That's Sherry Greco-Rikus, co-founder of Rapoport Rikus Capital Management here in Chicago. Now, still ahead in Entrepreneur Friday, we're going to look overseas as far as building a brand in the U.S. For all that talk of drill, baby drill, and promises of lower prices at the pump, well, sorry to tell you, it's going to take some time. Oil and gas prices are actually poised to trend higher at the start of this year. Here to explain why is Phil Flynn, senior market analyst at Price Group here in Chicago. Now, Phil, this is nuanced. I'm not going to pretend to understand all of the inner workings of gas prices and what factors into it, but for those who were expecting the price to go down, they may be a little startled here at the start of the year.
They sure could be, you know, and they got this thing called winter. I don't know if you remember it.
No. It Let me step outside back. Really quick.
Right, exactly. You know, that's part of the thing that's come back. And we're getting some cold weather around the globe, winter we haven't had for a few years. And believe it or not, when it's colder, we use more oil and gas. So that keeps prices higher. But, you know, I think one of the things that we have to look at when it comes to gasoline and diesel is demand. If the economy is going to get better, and we expect it will under Donald Trump, then the demand for oil is going to be higher. And it's not going to be easy to flip the switch and undo all the damage that we did under the last administration, you know, where we delayed projects, we didn't invest money. So it's not going to be as easy as flipping a switch to get those prices to come down again.
Thanks so much for the insight. Phil Flynn, senior market analyst at Price Group and Fox Business News contributor here in Chicago.
This is Chicago's news, traffic, and weather station, News Radio 105.9. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon. I'm Rachel Pearson in for Rob Hart today, and these are the top stories on News Radio WBBM. A man is shot and killed by Chicago police after officers say he came at them with a knife. President Biden and First Lady Jill will travel to New Orleans early next week. In Entrepreneur Friday, we'll speak with the president and CEO of a Chicago area-based company that sells European-made hair dryers, and facts and a little finesse can be keys to getting a raise at work. work. WBBM Business, the Dow is up 324 points, NASDAQ up 306, the S&P 500, it's up 70 points. Now, AccuWeather says it's going to be pretty sunny out there today, just very cold with a high of only 26 degrees. The wind chills making it feel a lot colder than that. Temperatures will settle around 11 degrees overnight, then sunshine, some clouds tomorrow, still breezy, still cold with a high of 24 degrees. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues, and Chicago police were involved in a deadly altercation on the city's southwest side early this morning. Just after 2, they were called to a sixth-floor apartment at a building on West 21st Place, just north of Cermak. That's where officers say they were approached by a man who charged at them with a knife. They fired their weapons in response, hitting him multiple times. He was taken to the hospital, but later died. The Civilian Office of Police Accountability has since opened an investigation. President Joe Biden plans to visit New Orleans next week in the wake of a deadly New Year's truck attack.
The White House says the president and first lady will go there Monday to grieve with families of the 14 people killed in the attack and with community members. The president said yesterday he's ordered an accelerated probe into the incident while praising the city's spirit.
People of New Orleans are sending an unmistakable message. They will not let this attack or the attackers with his deluded ideology overcome us.
The president will then go to California for an event in Los Angeles Tuesday. Sagar Meghani, Washington.
It's 60 Minutes of Financial Planning. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Markets remain higher. Joining us on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Jim Welsh, macro strategist and portfolio manager at MacroTides.com, based in San Diego, California. Jim, glad to have you with us. What do you make of what you're seeing on Wall Street today?
Well, Rachel, first of all, I want to wish you and all the listeners a happy and healthy 2025.
And the same to you.
In terms of, well, thank you. And I won't tell you what how many degrees there are right now in San Diego.
Okay, we'll just skip right irrelevant. Over that. Irrelevant.
No, I think what we're seeing is money that typically comes in at the beginning of each new quarter gets amplified in terms of new year pension funds and so forth are coming in. And I think to get a true measure of the market, we're going to have to wait for early next week. I think the bounce can continue if the S&P is able to get above 59.45. So that in the very short term is an important level.
Is any of this leftover momentum from 2024? And is that something that could perhaps have more longevity than the new year bounce?
Well, the correction that we saw in technology stocks at the end of last year and the Mag 7 stocks, I think we're seeing people recommit to those areas. NVIDIA is up, I think, over 4% today. So I think they're considered to be the safe places to be no matter what happens with the economy. I think a key test will come in coming weeks, Rachel. I think the optimism regarding President Trump's pro-growth agenda is misplaced from a timing standpoint. In other words, it's going to take time to work its way through Congress and actually become law. And in the meantime, I think the uncertainty is going to keep the Fed on hold for maybe longer than it otherwise would be. And also businesses might want to stand back and wait to see the fruition of some of these plans getting through Congress. So I think the economy is going to pull back a little bit in the first part of this year. And I think the market is vulnerable to a 5 to 10% correction as people become disappointed with, you know, that the progress toward what President Trump has proposed doesn't go as quickly as they were hoping.
Do you foresee that lack of timeliness being the biggest threat to financial markets right now, or are there other factors that you're keeping an eye on?
I think near term that is the biggest one because sentiment is really ramped up. There's a lot of bulls out there in a number of different markets. And, much of it is predicated on what they're expecting, a pro-growth agenda out of President Trump, you know, less regulation as well. Those all might resolve well, but there's, you know, questions regarding tariffs. How many people are going to get deported? So these are issues that are not going to be resolved quickly, Rachel, and I think that's where the disappointment, at least, you know, a short-term disappointment will creep in. So that, more than anything else, I think is going to gauge what the market does in the first quarter.
Well, how does the Fed play into all of this? And sort of a follow-up then, what's the trickle down to the average consumer? Because, you know, it's not like the concern of inflation went away after President-elect Trump won that race.
No, if anything, Rachel, it got enhanced, because what we don't know is how much of the tariff discussion is negotiation to actual reality. And so the Federal Reserve basically ramped up their estimate for inflation, primarily because they're expecting that there will be more inflation. And I think that is the biggest question, the issue of how many people are going to get deported, also could reduce the amount of labor supply, which then would have an impact on wage growth. So these are the unknowns. The known unknowns, as somebody once said, are still a factor of uncertainty. And I think a lot of businesses, and to your point about personal, a lot of people's loans are tied to the prime rate. Well, the Fed holding longer with the funds rate is not going to be a plus for the economy, because small businesses and many consumer loans are tied to the prime rate. And if the Fed's not cutting the funds rate, the extra cost of interest is going to be a drag on cash flows for both small businesses and individuals.
Thanks so much for the insight. Jim Welsh, macro strategist and portfolio manager at MacroTides.com. Up next in Entrepreneur Friday, growing in a family hair salon and building a business in upscale hair care.
Money talks as the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Entrepreneur Friday. This afternoon is the focus of hair care. So we're going to check back in with Alan Kossoff, president and CEO of Solano USA. He's based in Northfield. And Alan, glad to have you with us. Let's start with a little bit of your background. I think this is sort of some humble beginnings for you.
Rachel, good afternoon. Thank you for having me, and Happy New Year to everybody. It's a classic story. I was born into beauty. It started with my great-grandfather. He was a barber in Italy, and then it passed on to my late grandmother and onto my father, my two aunts, and my sister, all professional hairstylists.
Wow. All right. So needless to say that was something you were introduced to at a very, very young age, but you sort of took this salon upbringing and made it your own. At what point, and sort of walk me through that?
Well, thank you. Well, growing up in the salon, typical story of a family business, regardless of the industry, but just spent a lot of time working with all the wonderful professionals that were put together, a wonderful team that my father, Teddy, had created in 1975 in Northfield, which is the Teddy Kossoff Salon today. And I've been working with the family for nearly 28 years. And during the COVID period, there was a little uncertainty, and I had an interest in getting into other ways of being in professional beauty, staying in my industry with what I know. And I saw an opportunity with a legacy hair care brand, specifically an appliance electrical brand called Solano.
So I'm going to admit I'm not the most savvy when it comes to hairstyling. There's a reason
That's
I'm
okay.
on radio. It's fine, right? But tell me a little bit about what is Solano, what made it stand out to you, why the acquisition?
Well, Solano has always stood for power. And for nearly 50 years of relentless dedication to professional beauty, Solano rose up to the top and became one of the most trusted and dependable brands. In a salon, beautiful things happen to people's hair, to people's spirits, and our Solano dryers put the power in the stylist's hands to sculpt iconic silhouettes, highlight faces, unearth new layers. We help them create styles that are sleek, sophisticated, and true works of art. Our powerful, dependable tools warrant inspiration and performance, and no pun intended, from root to end.
Now, the hairdryer itself is made in Italy, correct? But your market is primarily in the U.S. This is for the U.S. consumer.
We're an international company. Our primary business is in North America, but we do have customers that we serve in the Caribbean, Central and South America. And correct, our manufacturing is in Italy. We import our dryers from Italy. And it's been a great education over the past years learning about the process and the logistics of, you know, working to import our products from Italy. Quite an education.
Well, it's a big shift, too, for you, sort of branching out into this new aspect of beauty. So I'm curious, has it changed your perception of hair care and the way you run your business? What's, because obviously this is still relatively new. You said this was acquired in 2022, correct?
That is correct. You know, a professional dryer is an essential tool for every stylist in professional beauty. Equally to most consumers at home, there must be a hair dryer in every home. And whether it's in a professional salon when you're getting your hair done or using a dryer at home, it's an investment and it's a tool that should, you know, offer and deliver beyond its promise. So, and there's a lot of offerings in the marketplace, and people often ask me, you know, what's so special about your dryers? Mm-hmm. And it really comes down to the quality and the craftsmanship. Our Italian artisans, the sourcing of our raw materials, how the construction and the manufacturing process is, that's what makes the difference between other options in the market and a Solano dryer. And we're proud to offer our dryers at a moderate price point and offer that long life and durability.
What do your customers say? Is there a noticeable difference? You touched on it, right? That there is a difference between, you know, the store-bought generic, you know, hotel hair dryer, right? Let's throw them under the bus for a second. The hotel hair dryers are going to be a little bit different than Solano. I'm guessing that your customers can attest to that too.
They can, and it's really about moving air, right? So it's not just about heat, because heat, you know, especially focalized, mm-hmm. you know, can damage the hair, and it also can hurt your scalp. So it's about precision, it's about performance, it's about air pressure and air speed, combined with a steady stream of heat, and that's what dries hair quicker. Add on top of that, technologies such as ion generators, which omit negative ions, which help break down water molecules to your positively charged hair. You know, we're getting into a little bit of science here. Tourmaline, which is a earth mineral that offers smoothness and shine, which is what many would say they feel from the result of using our dryer specifically, is how much shine and how soft their hair feels after using our product.
So, Alan, what's the best way for our listeners to view those products, to test it out, to learn more?
Well, I'll tell you what, you know, you can go to SolanoUSA.com, and we're also on Instagram at SolanoUSA. And we are inviting all of the followers on WBBM to DM us WBBM for a very special offer for the new year.
All right. Exciting, exciting. Thanks so much, Alan Kossoff. He's president and CEO of Solano USA, based in Northfield. Still to come, we'll talk about asking for a raise in the new year.
The only program dedicated to currency events. You're listening to the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
If you want a raise, sometimes you have to ask for it, but it's not always that simple. So let's get some advice on how to better negotiate from Rick Cobb, founder of the workplace consulting firm 2Discern here in Chicago. And Rick, how do we even begin to have this conversation of asking for more money?
Yeah, well, we should start with some other things before we get into the actual conversation. So there's some things you need to pay attention to. One of them is the timing. How's the company doing financially? Have you just completed a major project or some event that's going to influence the conversation? Are there regular performance reviews? And are there new responsibilities that you've been given? Those are the first things that you look at. The next thing is that you want to frame the conversation so that it's the benefit to both parties. And that sounds like it might be hard, but it isn't, because most people don't really ever quantify what they've actually accomplished at work. We're so busy doing our jobs that we don't really ever think about, what did I do? In other words, like if I did not show up for work and magically nobody replaced me, what would go wrong? That's a way to get your head around what it is that you actually do. And then the third thing is to put it in the context of something that they would be interested in. So how is it going to be good for both of us? And practice these conversations in terms of what they might say to you, budget limitations, timing issues, organizational policies. What are you going to say about that? And walk it through. It's it's like dating. You really have to get good at it, and you're going to be bad at it the first couple of times. So practice with one of your friends before you do that.
Okay, I really like this analogy. The other thing that I want to point out, Rick, that you're sort of alluding to, this is all about making a case for yourself, and this is sort of advocating for yourself. This isn't walking in and demanding money or else you're leaving. And, you know, I feel, and maybe you can speak to this, but I got to think that ultimatums, much like dating, don't work out as we maybe hope they will.
Yeah, marry me or else probably wouldn't work. I think, yeah, that's exactly it. And I think what's really critical is don't say too much. First, if you don't ask, you'll never get it. And I can tell you, my son, actually, when he finally asked for a raise, he said, why didn't I get one before? I said, well, you didn't ask.
Yeah, no one's going to just hand out money. I don't think that's the fiscally responsible thing.
Yeah, exactly. But the other part is you can't put anybody in an awkward situation. If you make me feel uncomfortable, if you're going to make me feel bad, if you're going to threaten me in some way or imply something, then the answer is going to be no, because nobody tells me what to do. That's the way we are. So what is it that you can say about you? Hey, this is the things I've been doing. Here are the metrics in that. I'm really excited about this new opportunity you've given me. However, you know, I'd really like to know, how does that, what's the compensation? Is the compensation going to change for that? I really feel like it's worth. And if you have the time to do the research, check industry standards. It's not hard to find out from Indeed or some other website what the going rate is for somebody. But more critical than that is the organization itself. Are they open to it? Have they done it in the past? Do you have any levers, or are they inclined to just say no as by out of reflex? And then when you ask, once you ask, stop talking. The silence at that point is the best lever you can to getting a good answer.
Ooh, I like that advice. Thanks so much for joining us today, Rick Cobb, founder of the workplace consulting firm 2Discern. That's the number 2Discern here in Chicago. And of course, you'll find past programs and later today a podcast of this hour at WBBMNewsRadio.com and on the Odyssey app.